Welcome to 30 Minutes of VOA Learning English, the voice of America's information service for people learning English. Join us now for our daily magazine show, As It Is, and other programs designed for English learners.
Hello again and welcome back. We come to you every day with interesting stories from around the world. We present them in a way that helps you learn and improve your American English skills. Today we have a special program. Domestic violence is a serious problem in Bangladesh, especially for women and girls who live in poverty. A group of nonprofit organizations is working to bring change to thousands of the country's poor. Jill Robbins tells us more.
In Bangladesh, domestic violence is a serious problem for women and girls who live in poverty. These women and girls are beaten or attacked in the one place they should feel safe, their homes. It is difficult to change this situation because of deep-rooted customs. But a group of nonprofit organizations is working to bring change to thousands of the country's poor. In a slum area of Dhaka, 10 people sit in a narrow street between small homes. Women with colorful shawls on their heads sit next to 4 men. They listen as 2 health workers, both women, talk about birth control methods and diseases passed through sex. The health workers also show photographs of how the diseases affect the body.
The surprisingly open discussions are part of a program called Shoki. Its goals are to improve health and reduce domestic and sexual violence in 15 slums in Dhaka. Shoki is a project of several nonprofit organizations. It offers legal advice and health services. Women can find these services in small offices throughout 15 neighborhoods. The program also offers counseling services and community information meetings. At those gatherings, people can learn about subjects like conflict resolution and how to control anger. The people taking part in the Shoki program all volunteered to be change makers. They talk with small groups in their communities about ending violence against women. There are about 1,500 of these changemakers. They received training from about 45 professional community workers.
Rashida Begum is a 32-year-old tailor, making and repairing clothing for other people. She became a changemaker more than a year ago. Years ago, she said, her husband often hit her. But after attending Shoki's programs, her husband has not hit her in a year. Before, if anything happened in the home, he got very angry at me and would beat me. Now, he's working with this group and getting a lot of information that you shouldn't do this, she said. Another important step for Miss Begum was learning about her legal rights. She had her husband arrested after he illegally married a second wife. Later, he ended that marriage and returned to Miss Begum and her family.
In Bangladesh, violence against women is widespread, even in their own homes. Physical and emotional abuse by husbands is common among the poor. In urban slums, women and girls suffer from high rates of violence and poor sexual and reproductive health. Girls who marry early have even more problems. Bangladesh has the world's fourth highest rate of child marriage. Here, 65% of young women marry before the age of 18. Through Shoki, men and women are learning that abuse is unacceptable and illegal. In small group meetings, many women and girls are learning about their rights for the first time.
Sarah Hossein is head of Bangladesh Legal Services Trust, one of the organizers of Shoki. She says that providing information is very important to her work. It's not just telling them that you have a right not to be beaten, but where to go if this happens, what you can do, who will help you, she said. Three other nonprofit groups are involved with the program. Marie Stopes Bangladesh is a nonprofit organization that deals with women's reproductive health issues. The Bangladeshi Women's Health Coalition and We Can both work against domestic violence.
Shoki is similar to an earlier program in Dhaka called SAFE. Some of the same nonprofit groups directed that program from 2012 to 2013. Population Council, a U.S. nonprofit research center, and ICDDRB, a public health institute, looked at the results of SAFE. They studied more than 12,000 people in the program. They found that SAFE reduced violence against women and girls. When men were included in activities, there was even less violence. More people used birth control, and more victims of violence asked for help. Among teenage married girls, sexual and physical violence decreased.
People at the meetings say the sessions can make them feel stronger. One female changemaker said, "Public action is the best action. The police can't do it." Before, if something happened in the home next door, you ignored it. Now you can tell them you can't do that. Since the program started in 2013, it has directly given services and information to 10,000 people. It has reached tens of thousands more indirectly through media campaigns and street theater. Shoki aims to reach 500,000 people by 2018. Involving men in awareness sessions and as change makers led to a greater reduction in violence. That finding comes from surveys of the earlier program in Dhaka. Male change makers lead about 1/3 of the community groups.
On a hot spring day, another group of 20 slum residents sat on the floor of a school in a slum area of Dhaka called Mohammadpur. Amid the women were 5 men. They were starting their 3-day training to become changemakers. Mahbub Alam is a 45-year-old night security guard. He attended the training during his off-duty hours. He explained why he volunteered to become a changemaker. "We think we live in an undignified way. We have an opportunity to change this," he said. It is not easy to stop violence against women and girls in Bangladesh, but Shoki is raising hopes that change can happen from the ground up. I'm Pete Musto.
And I'm Jill Robbins.
You are listening to VOA, The Voice of America, coming to you from Washington.
Coming up, more programs designed for English learners. You can read and listen to our reports and download MP3s at learningenglish.voanews.com. You can learn with us on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube at VOA Learning English.
From VOA Learning English, this is the Environment and Science Report. Here is Jonathan Evans.
Around the world, people are excited for the 2016 Summer Olympic Games. The host city for the events is Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. The city is known as Cidade Maravilhosa, the marvelous city, because of its beautiful landscapes. But one body of water in Rio, Guanabara Bay, is not so marvelous. The bay is known for having very polluted waters. The area is filled with raw sewage and trash, from empty water bottles to household furniture floating in the waters. Guanabara Bay is also the location of the sailing events for the 2016 Olympic Games. Much of the sewage flowing into Guanabara Bay is untreated. City officials have said they would reduce the amount of raw sewage flowing into the bay by 80% before the 2016 Olympic Games begin. But officials noted recently that they are not likely to meet that goal. Recently, the Brazilian sailing and environmental organization Instituto Rumo Náutico refused an agreement to help clean the trash in Guanabara Bay. The Associated Press reported that the organization said the agreement presented institutional risks. The organization would have received $6.3 million to help remove waste from the competition areas. Workers would use what are called eco-boats to pick up floating trash. André Correa is the environmental secretary for the state of Rio de Janeiro. He released a statement saying he was disappointed with the decision by Instituto Rumo Náutico. The priority now is to create an emergency plan to clean up the area where the Olympic sailing events will be held, he said. Cleaning up Guanabara Bay has been a goal of government officials for many years. But little progress has been made. Hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent on cleanup projects going back more than 20 years. Few observers believe the situation will improve before the 2016 Olympic Games. Some famous sailors worry that competitors might become sick from the spray of the sewage-filled waters. They also worry about possible dangerous boat collisions with floating couches or refrigerators. Officials in Rio say that the Olympic event route will be safe. A test event is planned for August of this year. André Correa says that no effort will be spared and we'll join forces so that this year's test event takes place within the expected water quality levels as last year's did. But environmentalists say that the test event last year happened during high tide. Many of the pollutants and garbage were pushed out of the competition path. If the event takes place during low tide, they say, there may be dangerous consequences. I'm Jonathan Evans.
And that's the VOA Learning English Environment and Science Report. For more agriculture, science, and environment stories, go to our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
Welcome to The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English. I'm Steve Ember.
I want to say to you that for the next 4 years, there'll be a Democrat in the White House and you're looking at him.
Presidential elections are exciting events in American politics. Few elections for the White House have been as exciting as the one in 1948. And few have had such surprising results.
This is NBC Television.
We have obtained the results from the state of Ohio, which assures victory for President Truman and Senator Barkley. With Ohio's 25 electoral votes, President Truman and Senator Barkley will have a total of 266 votes in the Electoral College. This is the minimum figure necessary for victory.
Four candidates were nominated for president in the 1948 election. One was the man already in the White House, the candidate of the Democratic Party, President Harry S. Truman. Truman had been the party's vice presidential candidate with Franklin Roosevelt in 1944. When Roosevelt died a year later, Truman became president. He was the one who made the decision to drop atomic bombs on Japan to end World War II. But Truman did not do well during his first few months in office. He made several serious mistakes. He had trouble with the economy and organized labor. His party lost control of the Senate and the House of Representatives in the congressional elections of 1946. Most Americans had little faith in Truman's ability as a leader. They expected that he would lose the presidential election in 1948 if he chose to be a candidate. President Truman did choose to run. He took several strong steps to show his leadership in the months following the Democratic defeat in the congressional elections. Truman called on Congress to pass a number of laws to help black people. He took firm actions in his foreign policy toward the Soviet Union. These included the Marshall Plan and the Berlin Airlift, as we discussed in our last two programs. And he began to speak out with much more strength to the American people. Truman succeeded in winning the presidential nomination of the Democratic Party. He chose Alban Barkley, a senator from Alabama, for vice president. Senator Barkley and I will win this election and make these Republicans like it. Don't you forget that, Truman declared in accepting the nomination. The Republicans nominated New York State Governor Thomas Dewey. Dewey was a wise and courageous man. He was also very serious. Truman campaigned by telling the voters that Dewey did not understand the needs of the average American. He called Dewey a candidate of rich people. One day, Dewey got angry at a railroad engineer because his campaign train was late for a speech. Truman said this proved that Dewey did not understand the problems of railroad engineers and other working Americans. He tried to make the election a choice between hard-working Democrats and rich Republicans. Two other men also were candidates for the presidency. Both were from newly created parties. One was Strom Thurmond from South Carolina. He was a candidate of the States' Rights Democratic Party, also known as the Dixiecrat Party. Most of his supporters were white people from the southeastern part of the country. They opposed giving full rights to black people. The other candidate was Henry Wallace of the Progressive Party. His supporters believed that Truman had turned away from the progressive ideas of Franklin Roosevelt. Both Thurmond and Wallace had broken away from the Democratic Party. Most political experts believed these two candidates would take votes away from President Truman. They believed the Republican Dewey would surely win the election. President Truman did not have strong public support. But Harry Truman was a fighter. He did not believe the election was lost. He took his campaign to the American people.
On election day, the president, the Congress, the governor, the mayor, all cease as the government. You are the government, because then you decide what sort of a government you want. And when you do like you did in 1946, when two-thirds of you stayed home, you get just what you deserve. You got that good-for-nothing 80th Congress.
He said he had always campaigned by going around, meeting, and talking to people. Running for president was no different, he said. He just got on a train and started across the country to tell people what was going on. He wanted to talk to them face to face. When you stand there in front of them and talk to them, he said, the people can tell whether you are telling them the facts or not.
If you give the Republicans complete control of this government, you might just as well turn it over to the special interests, and we'll start on a boom and bust cycle and try to go through just what we did in the 20s and end up with a crash, which in the long run will do nobody any good but the communists.
Truman campaigned with great energy. He made hundreds of speeches as his train crossed the country. It became known as the Whistle Stop Campaign because it stopped at some of the smallest towns and villages in the country. Truman gave speeches from the back of his campaign train, the Ferdinand Magellan. He spoke to farmers in Iowa. He visited a children's home in Texas. And he discussed issues with small groups of people who came to visit his train when it stopped in rural areas of Montana and Idaho. Dewey and the Republicans laughed at Truman's campaign. They said it showed that Truman needed votes so badly that he had to spend his time looking for them in small villages. Truman said the criticism proved that Republicans did not care for the average American. Dewey also campaigned across the country by train, but he showed little of the fire and emotion in his speeches that made Truman's campaign so exciting. Dewey's speeches were safe. One reporter wrote that Dewey was acting like a man who had already been elected and was only passing time waiting to take office. Dewey had good reasons to feel so sure of being elected. Almost every political expert in the country said Truman had no chance of winning. The Wall Street Journal, for example, printed a story about what Dewey would do in the White House after the election. And the New York Times said that Dewey would win the election by a large majority. Truman refused to accept those views. Instead, he spoke with more and more emotion against Dewey. Most Americans still believed that Truman would lose, but they liked his courage in fighting until the end. One supporter shouted, "Give 'em hell, Harry," them being the Republicans. Soon, supporters across the country were shouting, "Give 'em hell, Harry." Truman made special appeals to working people, Jews, blacks, Catholics, and other traditional supporters of the Democratic Party. In his final radio speech before the election, he promised to work for peace and a government that would help all people. Then he went to his home in the state of Missouri to wait with the rest of the country for the election results. Republicans across the country greeted Election Day happily. They were sure that this was the day that the people would choose to send a Republican back to the White House after 16 years. Some of the early voting results from the northeastern states showed Truman winning. But few Republicans worried. They were sure Dewey would be the winner when all the votes were counted. The Chicago Tribune was also sure who the next president would be, declaring in a huge headline, "Dewey defeats Truman." But the newspaper was wrong. Everyone was wrong. Everyone, that is, except Harry Truman and the Americans who gave him their votes. Truman went to bed on election night before all the votes were counted. He told his assistant that he would win. He awoke early the next morning to learn that he was right. Not only did he defeat Dewey, as he thought he would, but he won by a good number of votes. And he helped many Democratic congressional candidates win as well. The Democrats captured both houses of Congress. After the results were announced, as heard in this old recording, Truman showed his sense of humor by joking about the predictions of his defeat.
I had on the National Broadcasting Company. Kelton Bourne was saying, "While the president is a million votes ahead in the popular vote, we have yet to hear from him." Very sure that when the country vote comes in, Mr. Truman will be defeated by an overwhelming majority. And I went back to bed and went to sleep.
Harry Truman would make many difficult decisions as America moved into the second half of the 20th century. Truman would send American troops to help the United Nations defend South Korea against aggression from the North. He would join other Western leaders in establishing a new alliance, the North Atlantic Treaty Organization. They established NATO to provide for the joint defense of Europe and North America. Truman and later presidents would make decisions to send large amounts of economic and military aid to countries around the world. Many of these decisions were necessary because of America's new responsibilities after World War II as leader of the Western world. You can find our series online with transcripts, MP3s, podcasts, and pictures at voaspecialenglish.com. And you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter at VOA Learning English. I'm Steve Ember, inviting you to join us again next week for The Making of a Nation, American History in VOA Special English.